The big question in business, how will investors react to Steve Jobs' absence at Apple?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, Apple's going to tell us how much money it made in the last 3 months. iPhone 4s and iPads have been flying off the shelves. But word from Apple headquarters that CEO Steve Jobs is taking a medical leave of absence could rain on the earnings parade. Mike Abramsky analyzes Apple for RBC Capital Markets. He's with us from Toronto this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Markets are opening in about 40 minutes or so here in the States. Apple shares took a big dive yesterday in Europe on this news. Do you think that the same thing's going to happen here?
I do, but probably not as strongly. I think they were down about 7% abroad. They'll probably be about down 5% here, primarily because of essentially the uncertainty over whether Steve is going to come back or not.
And why all this uncertainty now? Why not have a succession plan in place?
That certainly would be sensible and conventional, but Apple is, of course, a company that's far from conventional in everything that it has done, including CEO Steve Jobs, who is perhaps one of the most disruptive innovators on the planet. And so part of the strength of Apple is perhaps also its weakness, which is it's a culture of Steve, and this is probably why it has the structure it has.
Steve Jobs' leave of absence versus what we're expecting to hear, great sales and growth from Apple when they report today. What's going to win out among investors?
I wouldn't say shrug off, but I certainly think that investors will focus on the strong performance and fundamentals, which really, in a sense, haven't changed at all from yesterday. There's a very significant quarter here coming, which I think would probably help refocus folks on the fundamentals, at least for now.
Mike Abramsky, Managing Director over at RBC Capital Markets. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. All right, markets are higher in Europe and Asia at the moment. Delta Airlines just reported a $19 million profit for its fourth quarter. Wall Street took the day off yesterday to honor Dr. Martin Luther King. Trading, though, is back on today. Here in the United States, moms-to-be get 12 weeks of unpaid leave. In Britain, they already get way more than that, 6 months maternity leave and even some of their salary. Now couples in the UK will be able to share those benefits, with new fathers able to take advantage of the time off too. From London, here's the BBC's Rebecca Singer.
At the moment, men get 2 weeks paid paternity leave, but from April, they could be away from the office for as many as 6 months. Andrew Cave is from the Federation for Small Businesses. He says this could be disastrous for his members and a bad thing for the economy.
The average business in this country employs 4 people. At the moment, if you lose a quarter of your workforce, it is very problematic. The government is introducing disincentives for businesses to take on more staff, just as they're saying that small businesses will be creating the jobs in the future.
But the government says the current rules are old-fashioned, with mums taking on the bulk of the childcare, while men miss out on time with their children. And they believe spending time with your kids in the early stages of life helps with the child's development and creates happier working parents. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. By PBS, presenting a look at the cutting edge, including cancer-fighting nanobots. Nova's Making Stuff, Wednesday at 9, 8 Central on PBS. And by Reputation.com, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
Too many times we at Marketplace tell you about another company announcing another manufacturing plant is shutting down. But what happens after that announcement is made? Author Paul Clemens chronicled the closing of the Bud Company plant in Detroit that for decades made panels and parts for the big car makers. His book, Punching Out, 1 Year in a Closing Auto Plant, is out today, and he's with us right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Why were you so interested in telling this story?
It seemed to me an unexplored area. We see all the time the headline, Plant to Close. And it dawned on me that I didn't know what happened then. And, you know, what I found was that taking apart industry is itself an industry. And what I try to do is track that process. And so press lines went to Mexico, they went to Brazil, and those that were scrapped went all over.
You actually observed the disassembling of this equipment, right? With these, what you call riggers, right?
Yeah, I observed it as often as I could and as best I could. And it's an amazing process. You know, you try to convey to a reader just how big these things are. I mean, you're talking about presses that weigh 1 million pounds. I described in the book as looking like several Stonehenges of steel. And that's what a stamping plant looks like and a press shop looks like.
But when it's done, it's done. And I can imagine you're from Detroit watching this happen. I mean, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, it's a sad process to watch. But what I hope comes through in the book, I think it does, is there's a vitality to the guys in the book. There's a bedrock decency and insight into what they have to say about the process that I think makes it somehow uplifting, even though what it's describing is not.
We keep hearing about an American automotive comeback. Do you see it?
I hope so. It's something you certainly want to root for. To me, Detroit and this auto plant are not really the subject of the book. They are the setting of the book. The subject of the book is wither the working class, wither industrial America. You know, if I were in Pittsburgh, maybe I would have written about a steel mill far down south, a textile mill. I mean, that's just the setting. It's my way into the topic. The topic is really, what do we do now?
Paul Clemens, author of Punching Out, 1 Year in a Closing Auto Plant. Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, I remember as a kid how important it was to have nice handwriting. They even gave you a grade for it. But that was so long ago when we were still writing on cave walls. Kids these days have laptops and cell phones made for texting. In Georgia, starting next year, they've even eliminated teaching cursive writing from the statewide curriculum. That is until they develop a cursive app for your kid's iPhone. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Running a business, it can sometimes feel like the wild, wild west, especially when facing down a customer who's got something to say.
Except instead of carrying a Smith & Wesson or a Remington, you're carrying a blog.
I'm Bob Moon, the public showdown for customer complaints, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.